Gopyadate Tvayi Krithagasidamathavad Yathedashashru Kalilanjanasam Ramaksham Vaktram Niniya Vayabhavanaya Stithasya Samam Vimohayati Bhir Abhiyad Vibheti. My dear Krishna, Yashoda took up a rope to bind you when you committed an offense, and your perturbed eyes overflooded with tears, which washed the mascara from your eyes, and you were afraid, though fear personified is afraid of you. This sight is bewildering me. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Here is another explanation of the bewilderment created by the pastimes of the Supreme Lord. The Supreme Lord is the Supreme in all circumstances, as already explained. Here is a specific example of the Lord's being the Supreme and at the same time a plaything in the presence of His pure devotee. The Lord's pure devotee renders service unto the Lord out of unalloyed love only, and while discharging such devotional service, the pure devotee forgets the position of the Supreme Lord. The Supreme Lord also accepts the loving service of His devotees more relishably when the service is rendered spontaneously out of pure affection, without anything of reverential admiration. Generally, the Lord is worshipped by the devotees in a reverential attitude, but the Lord is meticulously pleased when the devotee, out of pure affection and love, considers the Lord to be less important than himself. The Lord's pastimes in the original abode of Goloka Vrindavan are exchanged in that spirit. The friends of Krishna consider him one of them. They do not consider him to be of reverential importance. The parents of the Lord, who are all pure devotees, consider him a child only. The Lord accepts the chastisements of the parents more cheerfully than the prayers of the Vedic hymns. Similarly, He accepts the reproaches of His fiancés more palatably than the Vedic hymns. When Lord Krishna was present in this material world to manifest His eternal pastimes of the transcendental realm of Goloka Vrindavan as an attraction for people in general, He displayed a unique picture of subordination before His foster mother, Yashoda. The Lord, in His naturally childish playful activities, used to spoil the stock butter of Mother Yashoda by breaking the pots and distributing the contents to His friends and playmates, including the celebrated monkeys of Vrindavan, who took advantage of the Lord's munificence. Mother Yashoda saw this, and out of her pure love, she wanted to make a show of punishment for her transcendental child. She took a rope and threatened the child that she would tie him up, as is generally done in the ordinary household. Seeing the rope in the hands of Mother Yashoda, the Lord bowed down His head and began to weep just like a child, and tears rolled down His cheeks, washing off the black ointment smeared about His beautiful eyes. This picture of the Lord is adored by Kunti Devi because she is conscious of the Lord's supreme position. He is feared often by fear personified, yet He is afraid of His mother, who wanted to punish Him just in an ordinary manner. Kunti was conscious of the exalted position of Krishna, whereas Yashoda was not. Therefore, Yashoda's position was more exalted than Kunti's. Mother Yashoda got the Lord as her child, And the Lord made her forget altogether that her child was the Lord himself. If Mother Yashoda had been conscious of the exalted position of the Lord, she would certainly have hesitated to punish the Lord. But she was made to forget this situation because the Lord wanted to make a complete gesture of childishness before the affection Yashoda. This exchange of love between the mother and the son was performed in a natural way, and Kunti, remembering the scene, was bewildered, and she could do nothing but praise the transcendental filial love. Indirectly, Mother Yashoda is praised for her unique position of love, for she could control even the all-powerful Lord as her beloved child. My dear Krishna, Yashoda took up a rope to bind you when you committed an offense, and your perturbed eyes overflooded with tears, which washed the mascara from your eyes, and you were afraid, though fear personified is afraid of you. This sight is bewildering me. Hare Krishna. I would like to welcome everyone to Sri Sri Radha Gopinath's temple and to our Sunday festival, where many devotees and guests come together for the pleasure of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Pleasing Lord Krishna is likened to watering the root of a tree. When the root of the tree is satisfied, all parts naturally attain their fulfillment. So we are all part and parcel of Krishna. If Krishna is satisfied by the sincerity of our effort to please him and serve him, then certainly on the spiritual platform we receive that ecstatic fulfillment that we are always longing for. Anandam buddhivardhanam pratipatam punam vritashvadhanam Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu taught us that by hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord, all of our innermost desires will be perfectly fulfilled. And there is no other means. Harinama, Harinama, Harinameva Kevalam, Kalo Nasteva, 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 Katir Andhita. Today, Queen Kunti is praising the glories of bhakti, devotional service to the Lord. Krishna tells us in Gita, Bhaktya mam abhijanati yavan yashchasti tatvata tathomam tatvato gyatva vishyate tadarantaram. One who is engaged in unalloyed devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, always remembering him, never forgetting him, can easily be promoted to the kingdom of God. Man manabhava madbhakto madhyajim nam namaskuru mam evaishashi satyante prati jani priyosh. By always remembering Krishna, becoming his devotee, worshipping him and offering homage unto him, we will come to him without fail. Krishna only reveals himself to those who have no other desire but to serve him and to please him. That is a true bhakta. Sometimes Vaishnava is defined as anyone who has faith that Krishna is God and that I am his servant. And with that faith, anyone who chants his holy name, that is Vaishnava. But other times, Vaishnava is explained in a higher, more true sense, that a Vaishnava is one who has absolutely no desires for any selfish purposes to be fulfilled, but exclusively lives for the pleasure of Krishna. The ends are the means. By trying to purify our hearts by service of Krishna, And by keeping the ultimate goal always in mind, we can achieve the ultimate perfection. And what is that goal? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu prayed, Na danam na janam na sundarim kavitam va jagadisha kamaye mama janamani janmanishwari bhavatad bhakti rohaita kitvai. I do not want any quantities of wealth, nor do I want beautiful wife, nor do I want followers, prestige. I don't even want liberation, nor even elevation to Vaikuntha. I want to serve you unconditionally, my Lord, birth after birth after birth. This should be our prayer, and this should be our aspiration. And we should let nothing come between us and that aspiration for unconditional, unmotivated, undivided devotion in the service of Lord Krishna. Why is bhakti celebrated as the topmost of all processes of self-realization? Because Krishna is bhaktivatsal. He is conquered by the love of his devotee. In the Antya Lila, 18th chapter, 18th verse of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says that prema, or pure devotional service, makes Krishna dance, and also makes the devotee who has pure devotional service dance. And then that prema itself starts dancing. Thus all three, bhakti, the bhakta, and the object of our bhakti, Krishna, are all dancing together in one place. How Krishna is conquered by love is being remembered in this particular verse by Mother Yashoda. When a devotee conquers Krishna, he actually binds Krishna to always remain manifest within his or her heart. Therefore, Krishna says in Gita, one who sees me everywhere and everything in me, for him I am never lost, nor is he ever lost to me. When one controls Krishna by keeping him within our heart by humble, submissive service, then one sees Krishna only within and without. Even this material ingredients of the world, a devotee sees as Krishna's energy meant for Krishna's service. Therefore, such a devotee cannot look anywhere without seeing, how could I best serve Krishna? As Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, don't try to see Krishna. Try to serve Krishna in such a way that he wants to see you. But the great mystery of bhakti is when we don't want to see Krishna, but we want to serve Krishna, then we always see Krishna. He manifests himself. He's bound. He's conquered by the love of his devotee. Kunti Devi is in great bewilderment that Krishna is feared by even fear personified. In the Bhagavad Gita, which is a section of Sri Mahabharat, we find Krishna manifesting his Virat Rupa to Arjuna. What an incredible form that was! Krishna's form of time. Even the most powerful warriors in all of the world were being effortlessly devoured by the mouths of that form of Krishna. Krishna said, I am time personified, and I am the destroyer of everything that exists. And who is fear personified? Can you imagine? Everyone knows what it's like to be afraid. We all have many experiences in our life where there is great, great fear. sometimes fear literally immobilizes a person from being able to act, to be able to think, to even be able to speak. And that's just one little glimpse of a trace of a particle of fear personified. Fear personified means all fear in a conglomerate arrangement in one form. How would you like to see that person?
Hare Krishna.
But Kunti Devi says that fear personified is afraid of Krishna. Why is that? Because when a devotee chants the holy name of the Lord with faith, all fear runs away. They cannot remain. Even in the most difficult circumstances, let us look at Prahlad Maharaj. He was put in a pit of serpents. He was standing before Hiranyakashipu with sword in hand, trying to kill him. He was thrown in oceans. He was fed poison. All of these are fearful situations. But because he was remembering Krishna, there was no fear at all. Prahlad Maharaj, simple, childlike innocence of Krishna, you are my protector. I have nothing to fear. Just by that remembrance of Krishna, all fear dissipated. Krishna Surya Sam Maya Haya Andhakar Yahan Krishna Taha Nahi Maya Adhikar. Maya, which is very, very much personified by Maya or fear, is like darkness. And when the sun rises, then there can be no darkness. Krishna is that sun. When we remember Krishna and he rises and makes his appearance within our heart, all fear, all illusion is dispelled. But yet, Krishna, in his form of Bal Gopal, is so fearful of Mother Yashoda, literally weeping and trembling. This story is very dear for the Vaishnavas to hear because it reveals the supreme glory of devotional service and the supreme glory of those great devotees who capture Krishna by their love. Kolaveta Sridhar, when he was offering prayers to Lord Chaitanya, he was explaining the glories of bhakti, how Krishna is always conquered by the love of his devotees. Krishna was conquered by Bhishma on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. He made a vow, I will not raise a weapon, I will not come to fight. But Bhishma, it wasn't because he defeated Arjuna. That was external. It was because of his chivalrous ras of love for Krishna that Krishna wanted to please him and broke his vows and picked up the wheel to attack him. And by doing so, admitted to the whole world that he is defeated by the love of Bhishma. And Prabhupada often cites the example of Satyabhama, one of Krishna's queens in Dwarka. Prabhupada said, he acted like a henpecked husband in subordination to her love. Do you all know what henpecked is? I will not go into too many details. But it means a man who is totally under the control of his wife. They went to Indraloka and Krishna wanted to return the earrings to Aditi and other things that Bhaumasura had stolen. Krishna had done a great thing for Indra and the demigods. So Satyabhama was thinking that Rukmini has a Parijata flower in her palace. I want that Parijata tree for my palace garden. So Krishna said, if that's what you want, that's what you get. So he pulled out the whole Parijata tree to transplant in Dwarka. Now, Indra only had one Parijata tree. That's the best tree in all of Indraloka. And he was very angry. In fact, he declared war on Krishna. There was a great battle, the demigods against Krishna. And Krishna defeated all of them. Why? Just because he was conquered by the love of his wife, Satyabhama. And Yashoda, a simple gopi, not a big kshatriya warrior, not a great scholar, just Brajeshwari, the gopi who was the beloved wife of Sri Nanda Maharaj. She was a housewife. How she conquered Krishna is a great mystery. And anyone who hears this story with sincere attention and submissive devotion will also conquer Krishna by their devotional. Yashoda literally means she who gives fame to whoever she may be with. And she even gave fame to Krishna, because through this pastime we are about to narrate, Krishna is famous and worshipped as Damodar, one who is conquered by the rope of the love of his devotee. The gopis of Braja would regularly come to complain to Yashoda Mai about how Krishna was stealing butter from their house. This was a very, very daily type of affair. And sometimes Yashoda Mai would say, "Why are you stealing the butter from gopis?" Krishna said, no, I never stole any butter from gopis." Yashoda said, "Then why is there butter in your mouth? All over your mouth I see butter." Krishna would say, "The gopis smeared it on my mouth just to get me in trouble with you." Other time, Yashoda Mai would find Krishna personally feeding butter to monkeys. Can you imagine? She'd come into a room and the entire room was filled with monkeys. And each and every one of them had big mounds of butter in their hand, eating it, and Krishna was just distributing it with a nice smile on his face. She said, "Gopal, why are you feeding this butter to the monkeys? First you're stealing it." He said, "You told me the story of Ram, and I heard about these monkeys, how Lord Ram was banished to the forest and he had to fight against Ravana and find Sita. And at that time, all these monkeys were helping him. And Ram in the forest, he had no food to give them. No proper food at all. And thus, they had to perform such intense sacrifices. They had to fight. They had to work so hard with those big, big mountains and rocks building that bridge across the ocean. And they were suffering because Ram didn't even give them any food. So therefore, these monkeys, because they have done such good service to Lord Ram, and we have so much butter in our house, they're coming to me hungry with open hands begging for butter. How can I refuse them, Mataji?" During the month of Kartik, it was the day of Deepavali. This is just before the day that the residents of Braja would perform their annual Indra Puja. So everyone was very busy like this in making preparations. On that day, Yashoda Mai awoke very, very early in the morning, because she was thinking that Krishna is always going to other houses to steal butter and yogurt. Perhaps it's because I have other people churning it. If I personally churn it myself with all my love and affection, then perhaps Krishna will be very satisfied and remain home. Yashoda Mai's love for Krishna was so thorough and complete. She made every possible arrangement exclusively for Krishna's satisfaction. She had special breed of cows called Padmaganda. Out of the millions of cows in Braja, 900,000 were in the herd of Nanda Maharaj. And of those hundreds and thousands of cows, there were only 7 or 8 cows that were Padmaganda. They made very, very sweet milk. Mother Yashoda would personally grow the most tender, delicious grasses for them to eat. And she personally, with her own hands, took care of these few cows and personally milked them at times. So with this milk from the Padmaganda cow, she made into yogurt, and then she was churning. On this particular morning, Shukadev Goswami gives a beautiful description of how she was churning the butter. She had a very bright yellow sari she was wearing. As she was churning, she was blissfully singing the names and pastimes of Lord Krishna. As she was singing the pastimes of Krishna, her mind was completely immersed in the thought of Krishna. And when she was churning, her bracelets and bangles were making a very, very sweet chiming sound, which was in perfect rhythm with the chanting of her song. And her earrings were moving to and fro, and her hips were moving to the right and to the left. And the malati flowers that were decorating her hair, seeing Mother Yashoda chanting the glories of Krishna with such devotion, they were thinking that we are unqualified to be on her hair. What are we doing on her head? So they fell down to take shelter of her lotus feet. Now, when a pure devotee chants the glories of Krishna, Krishna appears. So this is what happened on this Diwali morning. Krishna heard Yashoda Mai singing, and he also knew that she was in such parental affection that very sweet milk, which was the very personification of her parental love, were oozing from her breasts. So Krishna immediately woke up, and he came to that place and started pulling Yashoda Mai's sari and saying, "Mother, please give me milk. Please give me milk." Yashoda Mai looked at her beautiful Gopal. She was infatuated with affection. But as a service to the Lord, her son, she wanted to complete this churning to make this very, very special first-class batch of butter. But Krishna climbed on that churning pot right onto her lap and embraced her. So she sat down and began to feed the milk from her breast to her baby Gopal. When she looked at his charming face enjoying that milk, she began to cry in ecstatic love. At that time, on the stove, the milk began to boil over. In Vrindavan, nothing is impersonal. Nothing is inanimate. Everything there was there for the purpose of assisting Krishna in a very, very personal way by creating an environment of pleasure for him to enjoy. So the milk, the Padmaganda milk, was thinking that I'm existing only for the pleasure of Krishna. If Krishna does not drink me, I have no reason to exist. And now he's drinking Yashoda Mai's milk. Because of her unlimited love, she has unlimited milk. And because of his unlimited affection for his mother, he'll drink unlimitedly. So there's no use for me to exist. Therefore, the milk boiled over in an attempt to commit suicide by jumping into the fire.
This is a Vedic way of committing suicide, to jump in fire.
When Mother Yashoda saw the milk boiling over, she put down Krishna and went running. Now, people may ask, why did she neglect Krishna for that milk? The answer is that was Padmaganda milk. And that milk was specially being prepared for Krishna. Whatever she did was for Krishna. Sometimes when we're performing devotional service, there's a crossroads. There's this way of serving Krishna and this way of serving Krishna. Which way of Krishna will please Krishna best? Sometimes it's a dilemma. Yashoda Mai also gets in that dilemma. But she was thinking, Krishna can drink my milk anytime, but this milk from these special cows is a great treat for him. So she went to take the milk off the stove. But Krishna became very angry, because he wanted to show the world that exclusive bhakti means nothing at all should ever divert our attention away from Krishna. She has divided her attention away from me. This is unacceptable. So he became very angry. And he picked up a stone that was meant to grind spices and broke the butter pot that Yashoda Mai was churning from. And when he broke it, all the yogurt came out all over the floor. Then Krishna went to another place, and he found a grinding mortar for spices, and he turned it over and climbed on top of it, and there was a pot of butter that was hanging from a rafter. And he climbed up to that swing and got the butter and began to eat it with great satisfaction. Then he called the monkeys of Braja, and the Braja monkeys came running there. Prabhupada calls them the celebrated, famous monkeys of Vrindavan. And he was feeding them the butter. At that time, Yashoda Mai, she came back to the place to serve her beloved child, and she saw he was gone. But not only was he gone, but the house was a total mess. The yogurt pot was broken. There was yogurt all over the floor. She understood, this is the work of Gopal, that I must teach him a good lesson because I'm his mother. Therefore, he must be punished for this naughty behavior. So she picked up a stick, and then she looked to see the little footprints of Krishna. Because he was stepping in the spilled yogurt, there were yogurt footprints on the floor. And she followed those yogurt footprints from one room to another, and there she saw, from a small distance away, there was Gopal on the grinding mortar feeding monkeys her butter. Very quietly, she tried to creep up behind him. But as she was coming, the monkeys saw her, and they were very afraid. They saw Yashoda Mai is in an angry mood. So all the monkeys started jumping out the windows and running out the doors. And when Krishna saw this, he was looking in both directions. His eyes were looking very fearful as he was looking, is anyone coming? And when he saw his mother, he became very, very fearful. He looked at her again and again and again in great wonder. He was afraid. He began to run away. Shri Krishna Bhagavan ki jai. Yashoda Mai ran after him. And he ran. But he was running in a very, very crooked way, like a snake, so that he would be very hard to find. And Yashoda Mai was having great difficulty trying to catch him. And the flowers from her hair started falling down to the ground.
Now, some commentators say that the reason the flowers fell down is because they know that Yashoda Mai was going to bind up Krishna. And they did not want to be a part of the conspiracy. Because if they're on her body, then they're responsible also for this punishment of Krishna. So, in retaliation for this mood, all the flowers jumped off to the floor. And other commentators, they explained that the flowers actually wanted to help Mother Yashoda. So they were thinking that us being on her hair is creating a heavier weight on her body. And if we jump off, then she'll be lighter and easier to catch Krishna. So Yashoda Mai ran and ran, and Krishna ran and ran, and they both ran and ran. It is described in Srimad Bhagavatam that even the greatest yogis and jnanis, with their very deeply controlled minds in a state of samadhi, cannot catch Krishna. They never have and they never will. But Krishna, seeing the very, very sincere parental affection of his mother, allowed himself to be caught by Yashoda Mai. Krishna was very much afraid. He was crying. And as he was crying, the black mascara decorating his eyes was flowing all over the various limbs of his body. Previously, when Krishna would become angry at Yashoda, he would bite his lips in anger. And some of our acharyas explained that Krishna wanted to teach us that how to control anger. Because anger is the mode of passion. And Krishna's red lips, when he would bite them, his white teeth would come over them to signify that by the mode of goodness, one can control the mode of passion. In this particular instance, he was trembling in fear, weeping and crying. Yashoda Mai told him that, why did you steal the butter, Krishna? And why are you feeding it to the monkeys? This is not proper. Krishna, with his two hands, were rubbing his eyes. And therefore, even his hands were full of all of this black mascara that Yashoda Mai had put upon him. Most beautiful sight for the pure devotees to meditate upon. Trembling and with a faltering voice, Krishna confessed. He said, Mataji, I did it. I stole the butter and yogurt. Please, please put down your stick. Please do not punish me. I promise you, I will never, ever, ever do it again. At that time, Krishna was wishing within his heart that Nanda Maharaj would come to rescue him from his mother's anger. Yashoda Mai put down the stick. Her heart melted. She did not want to cause him any fear. But at the same time, she wanted to cook breakfast for Krishna, because Krishna hadn't eaten anything except some milk all day long. So she decided to tie Krishna to the grinding mortar that he was standing on as a punishment, and also to keep him out of further troubles. Why did Yashoda Mai tie Krishna to that grinding mortar? Because the grinding mortar was part of the conspiracy to steal the butter. He used it to stand upon. So she tied both together. At least she attempted to. She got some nice, colorful rope. The type of rope that they use to tie the back legs of restless cows. We read in Srimad Bhagavatam how the cowherd boys, their paraphernalia was a stick for herding the cows, sometimes a flute or a buffalo horn, and a tiffin of prasad that their mothers had prepared for them, and a rope for tying the rear legs of the cows when they would milk them. That rope would be around their shoulders. So Yashoda Mai took some of that rope to tie Gopal just like she would tie a calf. She tied it around the mortar and then around Krishna's body, but she found that rope to be two fingers too short. She collected more rope and tied it to the original rope. When she went to tie it around Krishna's waist, again, it was two fingers too short. She got more rope and more rope and more rope. And when the gopis heard about this great pastime that was taking place, so many of them came into Yashoda Mai's home, and they all brought all the rope from their houses. So many varieties of colors of beautiful ropes, giving more and more to Yashoda. She was tying. No matter how much she tied, it was two fingers too short to go around Krishna's waist. This was a great wonder, because Krishna's waist didn't even grow 1 millimeter. And the ropes were growing by yards and yards, and it was probably kilometers of rope. And yet it did not go around Krishna's waist, 2 inches too short. How is this possible? Because in order to tie Krishna, the rope has to be on the outside and Krishna's waist has to be on the inside. But we learn, according to the Shastra, that Krishna is the source of everything, and nothing is inside of him and nothing is outside of him. So how can he be bound? Nothing is inside of Krishna, nothing is outside. Krishna is beyond time and space. Krishna is beyond past, present, and future. But she continued, laboring very hard to tie up Krishna. And soon flowers were falling from his hair, her sari was becoming loosened, her hair was disheveled. And all the gopis around, seeing this inconceivable pastime of the Lord, were just singing his glories and laughing. And Yashoda Mai herself, all she could do was just smile and laugh at what was happening. And Krishna just stood there, fearful, like an innocent, naughty child. Please do not tie me up. Please do not tie me up. She began to perspire. Her perspire was like beads of pure pearls decorating her forehead. And when Krishna saw his mother was becoming very, very tired in the act of trying to bind him, the Supreme Absolute Truth, the source of everything that exists, the creator, maintainer, and annihilator of all creation, the majestic Lord of Vaikuntha, in his original form as Balgopal, allowed himself to be defeated by his mother. She bound him and tied him to the grinding mortar. Shri Bhagavan Krishna ki jai. There was a great festival of ropes in the house of Yashoda Mai. Shukadev Goswami declares that the fortune of Mother Yashoda was unattainable by even Lord Shiva, or even by Lakshmi Devi, the goddess of fortune. It is explained
that after she bound Krishna to the grinding mortar, she went to perform her duties for Krishna. Everything she did was simply for Krishna. And Krishna was thinking, now I will perform such a mischievous activity because I don't like this being bound up by grinding mortar. So he began to crawl. As he crawled, this big, heavy, wooden grinding mortar was dragged behind him. There he saw the twin Arjuna trees. For those of you who know about Arjuna trees, they're very big, strong trees. When we were at our Brajmandala Parikrama, Dinabandhu Prabhu, who is a great authority of this narration, he told us about when he was in Mauritius, there was a cyclone, and practically every tree in areas of the island were just uprooted, but not a single Arjuna tree was disturbed, because their roots are above the ground and way, way deep down inside of the ground as well. They are considered to be unuprootable trees, formidable trees. And these two particular Arjuna trees, they were so wide and so high that they towered into the sky. When Krishna saw the trees, he understood who they really were. Narada Muni was one time around the area of Mount Kailash, where there were many very nice tourist spots for the demigods, places where they would go for pleasurable holidays. And the two sons of Kuvera, Nala Kuvera and Manigriva, they were at that time intoxicated. And they were so proud in their intoxicated state that they were bathing without any clothes on with young celestial damsels. When Narada Muni approached, the celestial damsels were very embarrassed and they ran out of the water to put their clothes on. But Nala Kuvera and Manigriva, they were so puffed up because they were actually personal, confidential associates of Lord Shiva. Very enviable position. So they had so many things to be proud of. They were proud of, they were very young, strong, and handsome. They were demigods from a very celebrated birth. They were the children of the treasurer of the entire heavenly kingdom, Kuvera. Also, they were very, very learned in all different subject matters. They had all sorts of opulences. So they were thinking, why should we care what this Narada Muni thinks of us? We are in and of ourselves. So Narada Muni saw that they were infatuated by false pride. So he knew exactly what medicine would be most appropriate to cure them from that disease. And he cursed them to become trees. You like to stand naked before me? All right, stand naked for 100 celestial years in the form of trees. But not ordinary trees. You will remember perfectly your previous birth. And you'll be standing there, just not able to move. What is it like to be a tree? You just stand there. When the winter winds come, there's nothing you could do except tolerate it. When the summer burning, scorching heat of the sun
You just stand there. So after 100 years of standing there, suffering like anything, then Krishna took his birth. And then they got to actually see the beautiful childhood pastimes of Krishna. Narada Muni placed them in Nanda Maharaj's courtyard facility. So Krishna, knowing that Narada Muni, his devotee, wanted to show mercy upon them, felt obliged, because the Lord is conquered by his devotee's love. Because Narada Muni wanted to show mercy to them, Krishna was obliged to give them his mercy. And that, in fact, is our only qualification. We're all like Nalakuveras and Manigrivas. We have so much pride. We have engaged in so many materialistic activities. Who are we to approach Krishna? But somehow or other, if a great personality like Srila Prabhupada, if he somehow is pleased with us and prays for us and bestows his mercy upon us, then certainly Krishna will make every arrangement to deliver us. That is our hope. Once Prabhupada was asked, what is our qualification to have this Krishna consciousness, the highest siddhanta of all religions? Srila Prabhupada was honest. He said, you have no qualifications. I have made your qualifications. If we just accept his mercy, that is our qualification. And to the degree we accept that mercy by following his teachings, to that degree, we are qualified. So Krishna crawled just between the two trees. And the grinding mortar got stuck between the two trees. And Krishna pulled once more, and the trees fell to the ground. But it was so loud, it shook the earth like an earthquake, and more. And all of the Brajabhasis were struck with fear. What happened? This was a crash louder than a bomb. First the Sakas came, Krishna's friends. They came and saw Krishna like that. Actually, when Krishna was being bound by Yashoda Mai, they were trying to think of some methods to rescue him. But they were not able to do so. So they tried to untie him, but the knot of Yashoda was so fixed that they could not. Then Nanda Maharaj came with the gopas and seeing these immense, gigantic trees uprooted and fallen, and Krishna was right in the middle of the two trees. Hardly inches on each side, the trees had fallen. And yet, there wasn't a single scratch on his beautiful lotus-eyed body, which was as soft as the limb as the leaves of a tamal tree. Nanda Maharaj untied. Because it was tied in Vatsalya Ras, it could only be untied by one who had the affection of parental affection. Nanda Maharaj took Krishna in his arms. And meanwhile, Yashoda Mai, when she heard those trees falling from her distant place, she was in such unlimited anxiety. Rohini and Yashoda were always fearing for Krishna and Balaram. They were thinking maybe the monkeys will scratch them, maybe the cats will bite them, maybe the dogs will bite them, maybe some pebble on the ground will scratch them, maybe a thorn in the ground will prick them, Can you imagine the anxiety she was in when she heard the tumultuous sound of the trees falling and the earth shaking? She came running. And Krishna told Nanda Maharaj, I don't want to be with Yashoda. I don't want to be with Mataji. Nanda Maharaj was thinking, why is she tied him up like this? When Yashoda Mai came, Krishna would not look at her. She was so totally devastated that Gopal would not look upon her. He was displeased with her. That all she could do is go to a secluded place and weep. At that time, Rohini Devi came and told Krishna that your mother is weeping in separation from you. So to please his mother, he jumped out of the arms of Nanda Maharaj and came running. Mataji, Mataji, please, I want your milk. And Yashoda Mai heard Krishna's voice, and it was like she was revived from a state of being dead. And she came running. And Krishna said, Mata, Mata, please, where are you? And she lifted him up and fed him the milk from her breast. Yashoda Mai asked him, Gopal, why did you ignore me like that and make me cry? And Gopal replied, because you made me cry. But this crying is the exchange of ecstatic love. In fact, Srila Prabhupada quotes Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur that the tears of love for Krishna, the tears of feelings of separation from Krishna, those tears wash away all of our anarthas or material attachments. Those tears water the plant of bhakti and make it grow to its mature state of love of God, the tears of separation for Krishna. But those tears are not simply from the eyes. They must be from the heart. Prabhupada explains also that tears that are artificially shed by the eyes but do not come from the heart, those tears wash away all the conclusions of the Vedas. Because Krishna is Paramatma. He knows our heart. This wonderful pastime that is being remembered by Kunti Devi is the very culmination of Vatsalya Ras. And to meditate on this pastime will very much cleanse our heart of all material desires. And the best way to meditate upon it is to speak it and to hear it and to share it with others. I think I told you on the day of Janmashtami when I was living in Patna and the devotees, they were all Ram Bhaktas, they would gather together every day for hours discussing Ram Katha. And one of the devotees there, only one old man, nobody there was less than 75 years old. And I was 19 or 20. And I'd be sitting there watching them, speaking, laughing, crying, in total suspense. I wanted to hear that story. I begged them, Narayan Prasad, one old man, I said, please, you speak English, tell me what they're talking. And he told me this story about Krishna stealing butter, but only about 5 minutes long. But with very nice affection he would speak it. And I said, 5 minutes? You were speaking for 2 hours. What is this 5 minutes? And besides that, I didn't hear anything about Makkan or Gopal or Yashoda. I only heard Ram, Lakshman, Sita, Hanuman, Ravana, Dasarath, Ayodhya, Rameshwar. What is this you're talking? He said, no, no, that's all we talked about, nothing else. So I thought maybe my imperfect senses. So the next day, 2 hours of Ramkatha, I was sitting right next to him, but I couldn't understand a word of it because I don't know Hindi. To this day, something about my brain just doesn't have the capacity. At the end of the talk, we sat on the banks of the river Ganges. Please, please, tell me what you spoke. He told me the story of Krishna stealing butter from Yashoda. I had tears in my eyes, and I was biting my lip in anger. What are you talking? I was listening carefully. I didn't hear the word Krishna or anything. You were talking Ram Leela. You're all Ram Bhaktas. You're sitting in front of the deities of Sita, Ram, and Lakshman, and Hanuman. Tell me, what is this katha? I want to hear about your devotion. He said, no, no, that's all we talked about today. Nothing else. After 3 days of this, I was very much upset. I almost was about to jump in the Ganges. So he told me that the Guru, Ram Sevak Swami, he told me this story. He said that the first day you came here, that night, Ram appeared to him in a dream and told him, this boy is a devotee of Krishna. Do not tell him anything else than stories about Krishna. And someday he will live in Vrindavan. So he told me the only story he knew about Krishna is stealing butter because he was a Ram Bhakta. His mother told him when he was a little boy or something. But Ram Sevak Swami told me that you won't believe if I tell you. And I said, you are correct. I don't believe what you're telling me. Queen Kunti is explained here to be Krishna's aunt, who understands the majestic, supreme quality of Krishna as the personality of Godhead. Although still she loved him as an auntie for a nephew. But Yashoda Mai was on a higher platform because her love was so intensified that she could not consider that he is the Lord. There was not a tinge of reverence in Mother Yashoda's love for Krishna. It was pure and intimate. And amongst Gaudiya Vaishnavas, purity means without even that sense of knowing that Krishna is God. Of course, we cannot imitate that. We have to start from the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, first verse, which describes Krishna's unlimited, infinite nature. We have to understand the universal form of Krishna. We have to understand how Krishna has killed so many demons in so many different incarnations as Varaha Dev, Narsingha Dev, how he sailed in the ocean of dissolution as Matsyavatar. By knowing all these things, we understand the greatness of God. And when our heart becomes more and more purified, we come to the 10th canto. And then gradually, by the mercy of those great Vaishnavas who are following in the footsteps of the Brijabasis, our love becomes so pure that the Aishwarya Bhav, the feelings of reverence for Krishna, are eclipsed by the feelings of Madhurya, or sweetness of love for Krishna. So that is what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to give the world through the congregational chanting of the holy name.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna.
Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna himself. And he came to distribute Krishna Prema profusely to everyone, to anyone, without discrimination. Does not matter what sex, what caste, what color, what your educational background is, no consideration. The only qualification is you're simply willing to accept the mercy with a humble and grateful heart. That's all. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna, distributing love of Krishna to everyone and anyone. And then he himself becomes controlled and conquered and bound by the rope of that love of the devotee that accepts his mercy. That is the essence of our Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Shri Gauranga Mahaprabhu.